Campus Radio.
Mach schon, tu es, tu es.
Okay, tu es.
In Ordnung.
Okay, im Stadion, Uhrwerk Apfelsine.
Yeah, gib ihm.
Hier sind mir
und Edgar Wallace.
Wie ihr vielleicht wisst, waren wir am Crossing Europe Festival vom 20. bis 26. April vertreten.
Und dort sahen wir den Film Introspective. Und nach dem Film kamen wir mit dem Regisseur ins Plaudern. Und wir haben ein Interview mit ihm gemacht.
Am 25. April trafen wir uns mit Aram Garriga, dem Regisseur von Introspective, im Kapu in Linz.
Wo wir ihn interviewten.
Es folgt nun das Interview, das wir damals aufgezeichnet haben. Es ist natürlich in Englisch gehalten, da wir selbst kein Spanisch sprechen und wohl unsere Zuhörer Spanisch auch nicht verstehen würden, zumindest nicht alle. Wir bitten deshalb um Verständnis.
So, nun viel Spaß mit dem Interview.
We are here with Aram Garriga at the Kapu. Aram Garriga is the director of the movie Introspective. Can you please introduce yourself to our listeners and maybe talk a bit about the movie?
Okay, well, first, thanks for having me. My name is Aram Garriga. I'm from Barcelona. And there I have the production company called The Visual Suspects. And this film that we are presenting here in Linz is the first documentary that it's like a long documentary that I directed. And it verses on the concept known as post-rock, which was used by the press to define a little bit the underground, strange kind of music that was happening in the 90s, and that was a bit out of the rule, so there was not many ways of describing it yet, so the press had to invent this concept, which really didn't mean much for the bands, at least, and the artists, but somehow they were put under this category, even if they are bands that have completely opposite and different styles, and they play all sorts of music with all sorts of roots, and in the end it's a bit the story of the postmodern evolution of music in the 90s, what comes from the underground and at some point becomes also quite massive. This is what the film is about.
When did you get the idea for the movie, or what was the inspiration for it?
Well, actually every movie is a little bit like an autobiography sometimes, and that was basically the music that I was into mostly at a time that was when I was 25, when I started shooting the film with a group of friends, more or less the same generation of people that have common interests in music, and we all work in media related things, but we also have this willing to do something that goes beyond regular jobs or projects, that to do something for ourselves, which is much more relieving in the end after so much work. And the thing was that I was doing communication research for so many years at the university, and at a point I got bored or tired of it because it was just sitting there and writing and reading and writing and reading, which was very good because it gives you tools to sort of analyze stuff afterwards, but we really felt like the action was on the street, and that what was happening culturally was happening at the moment, and Barcelona was a privileged place to have a look on what was going on because it was very vanguardist with this kind of music. So we were in the right place and we managed to hit the right time, I think. And that's why it came out well. And also because of the effort of so many people that worked for free and just moved by passion, which is what moves the world, I think.
After the screening, you mentioned that you worked without budget, or almost without budget.
Absolutely no budget.
And how did you convince the bands to work with you?
Well, at the first we had to trick a little bit, because now I have a production company, but at that time I didn't have one. So what we did was inventing one called Undergroove Films. under which name we approached the labels and the bands, and we explained them the project and why we wanted to do it. And the thing is that most of them were very, very receptive and helpful from the beginning. The masquerade of the fake production company only was for opening doors in terms of the festival passes and stuff like this, and permission to film and these kind of things.
Some motherfuckers think they're born to dance. Some motherfuckers think they're born to dance. Shake it like you don't know what you're waiting for. Shake it like bacon ice cold, it's floored. But you're stuck inside, 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 outside. Outside, 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 inside. Now twirl for me, twirl like a little girl. Some motherfuckers think they're born to dance. Some motherfuckers think they're born to dance. Well, maybe you is born and maybe you just ends. Yeah. 57 shots, she was bound to die. Barely met a boo-boo, he was bound to cry. But we're all good people here and I'm gonna tell no one you came over here. Inside, 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 outside. Outside, 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 inside. Inside, 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 outside. Outside, 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 inside. Strike a letter, make it red. It was born but night at Horta Village, make it scar. Two pink lungs are full of tar. I might live to tell the tale of how young girls once rode a whale. I'm walking in my rocking chair. Lost your strength, you lost your hair. Think they're born to dance. Some motherfuckers think they're born to dance. Not you.
Not me.
Shaking like you don't know what you're waiting for. Shake like bacon ice cold, it's floored. And again, inside, 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 out.
So it wasn't difficult to get close to the bands?
It was not really difficult because the idea, I think, was attractive to them as well, mm-hmm. to be a part of this. I don't know if somehow they were seeing that the intention was good, that what we wanted to do was to be honest to them so they could be honest to us as well. And that's the point of the film. So in that sense, it was not difficult to get there, mm-hmm. okay. The major problems came from the labels, but not from the bands at all.
What were the difficulties with the labels?
Well, for example, I remember EMI denied the interview we were going to have with Sigur Rós, for example. Mm-hmm. And we were there already at the venue. Everything mm-hmm. had been okay for a week. And we were waiting, the whole team, for the guys from the band to make the interview. And 3 minutes before, a guy from the label mm-hmm. comes and says the interview is cancelled because EMI doesn't want to label this band under the post-rock concept mm-hmm. whatsoever, which meant that they didn't really understand what the film was about. Mm-hmm. Also, maybe it was our fault to make them understand that this was not about categorizing stuff, but the contrary, just talking about music and feelings, which... It was important, but I don't know, you know, the higher you get, the foolish people, the more foolish people you find.
Yeah.
invented genre post-rock or the classification post-rock. Is it something that annoys you?
No, absolutely no. I think it's a very functional concept. Think of what would have been of the music journalism without this concept. Well, probably they would have to have worked a bit harder to to criticize or describe stuff, but at a point everything that was sort of unclassifiable became post-rock at some point. But you have like many different tendencies within it, and you have instrumental and non-instrumental. Even mostly it's associated to instrumental stuff, but not necessarily. So it's nothing that annoys me at all. On the contrary, when I see the concept post-rock somewhere, I just get the record because because it means that it will be interesting, at least.
Did you get all the bands you wanted for this movie, except of this one band?
It would have been a real pleasure to come on the Canadian side of the story, mm-hmm. which is this band, which is more like a collective of people called Godspeed You Black Emperor. They have many side projects like Silver Moon Zion, Do Make Say Thing. It's pretty much instrumental stuff based on jazz and classic music and dark passages. And there is a label that releases all those bands. There are a lot of bands. There are much more than the ones I mentioned. But they share this dark political perspective of the world. And, of course, in the end of the 90s, beginning of 2000s, that became a boiling point, at least for political statements in music. But at the moment, they're still going on, and they don't care about post-rock so much, I think. But still, great bands.
How did you find your favorite bands, or maybe your favorite genre? I mean, I can exactly remember when I discovered my favorite band. I saw a music video of them, and the first time I saw it, I had to laugh because it was a little bit ridiculous and embarrassing. But from then on, I was in love with this band, and this band opened a whole new world for me.
Of course, this is the way it happens, actually. You get this input one day, and you never forget it. And every time that you listen, it transports you back to that moment of joy. So it's like
when did you have this moment?
Well, I think it's very, very heavy, but the first thing that I remember related to music, I was 1 year and a half old. It's strange with me. Sometimes I remember stuff from when I was really, really, really young. And I remember my mother took me to a rock concert for kids that was happening in a theater one morning in Barcelona. They were called the Garigots, a band from... They used to sing stuff for kids, like Red Riding Hood, whatsoever, but with rock instruments. They would play drums, bass, guitar, and sing. And I thought it's probably the greatest thing ever. And I made my mom buy the cassette. I was listening to it, like, in a mad way, like, all the time. And I think from then on, really, 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 really young, I just got addicted to music and never gave up afterwards.
We'll be right back.
After the first screening, you mentioned you had a own band, but I think you forgot to mention the name of your band. Could you tell us something more about your band?
Well, the name of the band is Edisian. We have a MySpace that you can check if you wish, which is myspace.com/Edisian Band, all together. And we have been going on like for a year and a half now. I had never been in a band before, actually, before this. Used to do electronic stuff on my own, but never being in a band, actually. And this bunch of friends that used to play in extreme death metal bands since we were 15, almost. One of the guys, the guitar player, Xavi, is my assistant director now with a production company. And we started doing stuff together, and one day he said, fuck, because they had split the band. And he thought, we might redefine it and give the new shape, and you can join, maybe mix electronics with rock and contemplative passages and sort of the music that we like, from from black metal to classical music or minimal stuff, you know, since everything fits in there. And for me it was super happy experience, because one thing is playing on your own, another thing is interacting with three more guys and seeing what comes out of it, and it's really, really nice. And at the moment we're not playing much, we don't have much time to rehearse either, but whenever we do, which is almost twice a week or three times a week, it's probably the best moments of the week, actually, because you really feel that something is going on there. And well, now we're preparing to record like first EP this summer. Sly is helping us with the thing, because it's not easy, but just check the music and you decide by yourselves. At the moment you will only find like bad recorded demos, but they will give you sort of an idea of the thing. I wouldn't describe myself as a musician, actually. I just play with keyboards, like simple figures with keyboards, and then also electronic stuff like processors and machines and samplers and stuff like this. I'm a bit better, and then I'm the singer as well.
Do you have plans for another movie?
Yes, actually, we have lots of plans, but you never know what's going to happen. And at the moment, we want to shoot a new documentary. It's not about music this time. It's about a Spanish writer. Well, a writer that writes in Spanish, but he is American and lives in the Mexican-American border. He's 70. He has a very interesting life. He was fighting in the Korean War so he could get the GI Bill for work in the States. And he has written like 30-something books about the life in the Mexican-American border from the war against the USA until the 90s, more or less. And so it's many generations' portrait of a culture that was the Mexican culture that was still in the United States, part how it has been like neglected and assimilated into Anglo-centric American culture. And I think it's very interesting. My intention is to be there in August in Texas and shoot there for a couple of weeks, and then this will be a documentary. Then we're also working on a fiction project, which this is more horror film genre oriented. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, pretty much of work ahead, and music videos all the time as well, and also work as an editor, so I'm editing movies and documentaries for other people too, so yeah, we keep it busy. Face hides behind the mask.
wielding back the pieces of a shattered heart that's scattered out here with the ghosts of her peers. Searches for her lost child along the river of tears.
Will your other movies be screened here at Crossing Europe?
I hope they want me back someday. So far it's been an amazing experience. They treated me so well. And also the movie has worked okay. It has got great reactions from the audience, from the media as well. Now you guys are here with me and I want to thank you for this. And yes, I hope to be back someday, of course.
What were your goals for this movie? Was there a special message you wanted to give to the audience?
Well, when you start doing something, you're pretty much start. I don't know who said that, but some director. But he was all right. That when you start to do a movie, you begin a journey to the unknown sometimes. And with documentaries, it's even more like that, because you don't know what you will meet. You can go with certain ideas of what you want to do or what you want to talk about, but then you have to be very flexible in what kind of feedbacks do you get from the people that you are working with or the subject that you're studying in some way. And you never know. And for example, in this film, many stuff that was not planned suddenly came out, like this embryo sequence. These guys, I happened to meet them when I was on holidays in Cabo de Gata one summer, and I was in a bar there with my uncle, and they just got there and started playing. And I couldn't believe it. And I went and talked to the guy, and we agreed to meet in Barcelona in September. But that was totally something that was a real gift that wasn't totally unexpected. So the goals were to basically do something that we could be happy with, and that was enough. We didn't have the goal of making money, which we haven't made any money with this film, more the opposite. But on the other hand, and it has put us on the map somehow. Like, it's very nice to show around the world what you do, and if people like it, then the process is complete. Also, everything you do is never finished until there is an audience that receives it and gives it back somehow. So also, when you have finished it, it's absolutely out of your control. And you have to take what it comes, and this is really thrilling.
I'm gone with Darlene in a tragical part of the night. But I wish she would bring me a place in morning spectacular light. Make her last just a few brothers, new brothers, lovers proclaim. Down at the subway station, just a few brothers, mothers remain. Oh, help the children. The television station, mama, your boy getting tired. But baby, you ain't trying to warn me that the maitre d' getting fired. Just like those boy down there second all kids always say. Just like the funny little lady, mama, tiny green, just like butter. Now I've been monkeying around, but a bebopping freewheeling guy. But this weed Adam Green found his motel is how I get by. I got a hole in my barrel, Cheryl. She left me out in the cold. I got a 101 fever, mama. Should not be acting so old.
Visual Suspects is your company, but it was not launched for the movie.
The company was set when the movie was released, but because after the film and during the film, we started working for serious companies and stuff like that, so we thought that we needed to be legal, structured to work, basically, and to make a living and to make money to invest in other projects that we want to do and to keep it alive and going. And it was me and my associate at the moment. We had just done a documentary together, and I was the editor and producer also. And we won an award, we got very happy, and so then I went for the introspective project. But we're still doing, well, already doing stuff for companies, so we needed the structure. Then it's what happened. It's like having a couple. We didn't have the same objectives, and we split, and now he's doing stuff on his own, and I am running Visual Suspects with another name. Well, it changed a little bit. At the beginning, it was the Visual Suspects, and now it's just Visual Suspects with Dot, and we changed the graphic image also. And so it's a different company, but yes, it's a continuation of what we started together, and now he's also working in a jazz film, I think. And his name is Xavi. I think he will do okay because he's talented. The only thing is that we could not work together anymore because I wanted to do music videos and stuff like this. He was more into other stuff, so that's regular. So just wishing the best.
Whatever. I went down to the beach and saw Kiki. She was all like, and I'm like, whatever. Then this chick comes up to me and she's all like, hey, aren't you that dude? I'm like, yeah, whatever. So later, I'm at the pool hall and this girl comes up and she's all like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. Cause this is my United States of whatever. And this is my United States of whatever. And this is my United States of whatever. And then it's 3 a.m. I'm on the corner wearing my leather. This dude comes up and he's like, hey, punk. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Then I'm throwing dice in the alley. Officer Leroy comes up and he's like, hey, I thought I told you. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Then up comes Zaffo. I'm like, yo, Zaffo, what's up? He's like, done. I'm like, that's cool. Cause this is my United States or whatever. And this is my United States.
Could you recommend some bands for us that we can play on our show?
Well, some, I would say. But so many styles at the same time. For example, the last Queens of the Stone Age album, I think, is really good. It's really... But this is also commercial at a point, because they are big already, but I really like the album. And then to find something that's a bit more strange, there is this band from Barcelona called Cuzo, C-U-Z-O. Also, you can find myspace.com/CUZO band. And it's sort of progressive rock stuff, 70s oriented, with scenes that remind a little bit of the soundtracks of Dario Argento's films, Goblin style, like prog rock, Italian prog rock from the 80s. They're going to play Primavera Sound, and then I'm going to shoot a music video for them now in June. So I would recommend this band. Then there is this other band from London, which I already made one video for them, and now I'm working on another one. They're called Ulterior, and they've been touring Europe for the last months with the Sisters of Mercy, like warming up for them. And I think, well, they do this kind of industrial drum machine rock. I really like it. When they started, they were much more underground than they are now. Now they are getting a bit more, like, for all audiences, but they still keep a lot of energy. They used to blow them off the stage, at least what I saw in Barcelona. The Sisters of Mercy were very boring, and the Ulterior guys were really good. But I don't know how the rest of the tour was, but the thing is that the guy from the Sisters of Mercy... has a low voice, so the band has to play low to catch with him. So you have the false feeling that what you're hearing is like with a low volume, which is okay also because the sound quality was really good, but you expect it to be a bit louder, and they just do it like this. And on the other hand, Ulterior get really, really, really loud. So that's why it's such a difference. And also there was a funny thing with them, with The Faint. They were touring with The Faint, actually. They were starting the tour, and just before some concert in London, they were kicked out of the tour for no apparent reason. And I think that's because they thought that they would really make The Faint look bad. Actually, but I don't know. I think they're going to make it because they work hard for it. Sly is producing them. He's in London every often to record new stuff. And I think the album is going to be out by the end of the year. And it's going to be good, I think. We'll be right back.
how did you become in touch with Sly, the producer?
Well, when I was doing this communication research thing, my PhD director, it's Fernando de Felipe, he's a comic book author and really known screenwriter also, which I haven't seen for a long time now, but I know he's doing good. I was at his place one day and he was playing me this CD by Black Heart Procession and Solbakken, which is one in the Fish Tank series record. And he mentioned that this producer, Sly Ahadze, is like very visionary, blah, blah, blah. And I fell in love with the album, so I bought it. And then I checked the rest of the series and saw what was in there. And that was the very moment when I was starting to think about the film. And I had already been shooting a couple of shows. And I thought that he would be a really good, interesting external perspective of the stuff, of what we could say, the whole picture, because he had worked with many bands that were representative of this. So I just mailed him and found his contact through his website and talked to him about the project, and also he was very cool about it. And then we took a plane, went to London, to Amsterdam, with some friends, and spent New Year's Eve there. We were shooting, partying. And we got back with like 4 hours interview with Sly, which was what vertebrates the film, actually.
I can imagine that making this movie was more fun than work. Or did I get the wrong impression?
Actually, you can even tell from some shots, especially at the gigs, you can see that all the cameramen were either drunk or fucked up. Imagine was shooting at 3 a.m. after being the whole day in a festival. It was really hard, but it was also really funny. You have a lot of stories to tell about it, and everyone had so much fun. That's basically why they wanted to do it. I'm sure that if I told the same guys to do something boring about a writer that I'm going to do now, they would really tell me to fuck off. But what I was offering was like, yeah, okay, let's go to festivals, let's get drunk, let's shoot, and let's have fun. So everybody was on for it.
So I think this feeling got really good transported.
Yes, I think so too.
Non, mais dégueule pas vraiment.
Si, si.
To a party, I danced all night. I drank 16 beers and started up a fight. But now I'm jaded. You're out of luck. I'm rolling down the stairs, too drunk to fuck.
Bands, and how long did it take to make the movie?
The whole movie, we started shooting in 2005 and started and finished, sorry, by the end of 2006. And then, but that was, it was a parallel process with everything with shooting, because sometimes you would not shoot for a while because you had to wait until the bands came or you had to move somewhere. So I was always editing. While every time I had something shot, I tried to edit and try to look what works with what, and also make all transcriptions. And so it was a lot of work, actually. We finished the first version by the beginning of 2007. It was 50-something minutes. But there was still something missing. I thought that I needed to be to push it a little bit, because what we had was very good, and if we wanted to make it very special, I thought that some more footage would do as well. So this friend of mine who owns a production company in Barcelona called La Chula, he's called Benet, he's a very well-known music video maker in Spain, and he had been filming bands for so many years for TV programs and stuff. He had been working for many years, and he had them there just in a box in at his place. So one day we got together, watched the film, and then he started saying, okay, I have this, I have that, we can maybe use it. So then he had done this with a music journalist called Ignacio Julia, who is very good friends with Sonic Youth, Yo La Tengo, but really close friends. For example, the first time Yo La Tengo played in Barcelona, they were pretty unknown, they slept at his place, and they're new from the United States. And then this Ignacio guy now is like 52, 53 years, and so it's been on the run for a long time. So they became associate producers of the film, and we used some of the stuff that they, for example, this Noel Gallagher interview that was there in a box. We just watched it for curiosity, and all of a sudden I realized, like, fuck, what he's saying is so amazing. We need to put it on the film.
Und all den
Is a big issue nowadays. There has been a big trial against the founders of Pirate Bay, and they have been found guilty and got sentenced for 1 year jail. They also will have to pay $4.5 million. What do you personally think about the copyright problem?
My opinion is that they should go for the real crooks and not for guys doing stuff at home with computers. That the only harm that they may do, I mean, they were not hacking the Pentagon or something like that. They were just okay illegally, but they were distributing culture at some point. They were making it accessible to people who maybe cannot buy it or cannot afford it. And also, this internet stuff, it works. For example, if I like a record that might be downloaded or I hear it on the MySpace or stuff, then I'm going to buy it because I want to have it. Mm-hmm. But because I heard it first, so I can decide if I like it or not, if I want to buy it or not. But I don't know. This is just... The problems, the people that's having problems is the major companies with this. I don't think the indie labels experience many sales drop because of this, because it's not about that. So, if I have to say, for example, that in Barcelona we have this, you can go on the street and buy a CD, for a new music CD, copy, of course, an illegal copy from some guy in Ramblas for 50 cents. But if I go there, I will never find a CD that I would buy, actually. Which is the most mainstream stuff. Maybe, okay, maybe you can find the CD of the new CD of U2. I bought it because I like them. But in general, the bands that are, or the bands or musicians, to say, to be generous with the word, that are mostly being pirated or that are victims of this piracy, all of them are millionaires and I mean, who cares if they made $3 million less than when this was not happening? I mean, I'm even happy about it.
I think it's a little bit annoying because I use YouTube, for example, to find new bands and new music, and it was free advertisement.
Yeah, funny thing that happened to me today. I was uploading a music video that I made onto MySpace, actually, and it was a free creation video with mixed images of everything. It was more like a video art piece, and the music was by this band called Suicide. And I labeled everything, like, music is by the band Suicide from this album, published by that company, blah, blah, blah. Okay, then I don't have the rights for this, but it's like a homemade thing that I want to show. And the video, from the very moment that it got uploaded, it got removed from the... And then they would, like, restrict my privileges of uploading stuff onto MySpace until I don't read the full page of what can I do and what I can't do with the stuff that I upload there. So I had to be, I have been taught a lesson, a written lesson about copyrights. I mean, come on. These social networks, what they do, basically they steal the copyrights from people for life. Well, there was all this thing with Facebook now that they had to withdraw of what they said because the users got really annoyed. But this proves something also, is that the user has power. It's something that was not like this before. I don't know, it's very chaotic and messy, and you will never know what you're going to get with all of this. So it's worth being risky and trying different things, because now there are no rules with all of this. You never know how you might hit the right key or not. So it's not like before, you know, that you had like certain parameters that you were sure or worked for everyone. And now it's not anymore like this. So it's also more interesting. Now you find really, really small bands from the other side of the Atlantic, for example, that come to Barcelona and they play. They got good audience because they're okay, and people know them mainly because of internet, because it's not that they're distributed here or it's hard to find their records or you really have to know what you're looking for. So this opens up doors for artists and musicians to show their work around. But I don't think this was possible before internet at all. I like to remember, for example, the first Coldplay, you know the band Coldplay, everyone knows the band Coldplay. And the first time, I don't know if that was the first time they played in Barcelona, but the only time I have seen them live was in Apollo, which is a not big but quite okay music venue in Barcelona. And we were like 40 people or something like this, just sitting there with the Coldplay playing. And next year, they were already playing arenas. I don't really know what happened to them. But so the proximity was lost forever. I mean, now it's totally impossible. I think they still do good albums, though. But they are, to my taste, they are overproduced and everything. So, like, they want to be U2 at some point. You know? It's a bit boring. But I think they started as a very honest band. The first album is great. Patches. And I think that internet had a lot to do with this thing also, because before it was not so easy to race so quick or to fall so quick as well, or internet just makes things more immediate, which is good in a way. We'll be right back.
One thing I wanted to ask you is if you had the possibility to have a band in your movie, no matter if the members are already dead or if it would be too expensive, what bands would you like to have in your movie?
I would definitely go for Jim Morrison and Sid Barrett from Pink Floyd, the one that got crazy and had to quit the band. I think he died not long ago. Because Jim Morrison, for example, he changed American culture totally. And politically, he was important, and musically, he was important. He was very lost, poor guy, but he had a vision. I mean, that's undeniable. And people still remember him for this. And Syd Barrett, because of this real proof that craziness is beauty as well, and something irrational is probably purer than something that's very calculated or meditated. And I would go for many others. I don't know. If you ask about that stuff, I'd love to have a chat with Mozart, for example. But yes, that's fiction already.
Wir sehen die Welt mit anderen Augen. Seitdem wir draußen sind, sehen wir Dinge ohne Namen, mit schleierhaftem Sinn. Wir sind Leute in den Straßen. Wir sehen unmöglich aus, unsere Art sich zu bewegen. Gleich deinem Fallen oder Schweben, so als wäre uns der Boden unter den Füßen. Wir laufen durch die Straßen und wir sind überall in den grauen Zwischenzonen, wo die Umrisse verschwimmen. Wir sind schillernde Gestalten, die die Lichter reflektieren. Unsere Augen sind verborgen hinter dunklen Sonnenbrillen.
Thank you.
know if you already mentioned it, but why did you name your movie Introspective?
It's what was saying before, I think, about every film being a little bit autobiographical. At that point, I had to meditate a lot about myself, my life, what to do, what not to do, what I want to have, blah, blah, blah. And this was the soundtrack for my own mental bullshit. So, so it had to do with my personal moment at the moment, at the time, when I was more into myself and exploring what was in there and how it could be improved and so on.
What movies did you like?
There was this interesting documentary about a small criminal from the Czech Republic called René. I think the film was made by a woman who at the time was Minister of Culture of Czechia. And I found it really interesting. It sort of portrays the, after the implosion of the USSR, also the disintegration of the old Eastern Europe countries. And I think this guy is a nice example. Well, nice wouldn't be the word, maybe, but he is an example of what this sort of crisis and no future sort of scheme generates in a society. So, at a point, I think it's a political film as well. And then fiction-wise, I liked the film called The Noise in My Head. It was I thought it was good. The actress was very okay. Céline Boulogne, I think. And then I also saw Versailles, which was not so good, in my opinion. But still, it's very difficult to make a movie, so I'm not really here to criticize anything, and I'm not in a jury or whatever. I mean, I know how hard it is for us to put out stuff, so maximum respect for everything. And then I've been watching a lot of experimental stuff from Austrian authors and things like this. This Dietmar Brehm, yes, the sort of Man Ray styled art videos that I found them interesting. They could work great as visuals for music, I think. Even the sounds were a bit annoying because they were like these sharp, noisy things that, you know, that he just put it there to annoy you, but, but at least visually it was interesting. Then I've been watching horror movies also,
yeah,
like the zombie film Dead Snow. I had a good laugh with it. And Eden Lake, also yesterday I watched Inferno in German with no English subtitles, so I mean, I've seen the film maybe 6 or 7 times already, so I could follow with no problem. And this horror film that we're working on now actually is a bit inspired in Dario Argento stuff and the music video that I'm shooting for this Cuzo band as well. So I really want to watch it on big screen, like colors, photography. This is funny. It's like a mixture of pop art with German expressionism and some sort of modernist architecture and also all the dark tradition of Europe's witches and stuff like that. I really like it. And that's it, basically. Having a good time, really. Meeting filmmakers, interesting people, and sharing opinions, and I think it's definitely the nicest way to take the pulse of what's going on in Europe, film-wise, at the moment.
Bones sinking like stones, all that we fall for. Homes, places we've grown, all of us are done. We've grown all of
body to lean on.
Something that has nothing to do with the movie, but did you try Austrian beer?
I can't remember. I'm sure I did, because I had a lot of beer since I'm here, but what brand is it? Is this one Austrian?
No.
Krušovice. What's this? Czech. I don't know. I tried different kinds of beers, but...
It would be interesting if they're a bit stronger than...
Well, what they are is bigger, actually. And if they are stronger, then you have double dose of that. It works okay with rock and roll, and there's been also pretty good shows on the night here. Mm-hmm. The band yesterday was great. It's Pass Montagne, sort of hardcore stuff. And also Datarock was good, mm-hmm. from Denmark. And then there was this Turkish ensemble. There was sort of psychedelic stuff with Eastern instruments that was really, really nice. And tonight there is a good gig as well. It's White Circle Crime Club. It's, mm-hmm. That band is cool.
What is the malted liquor? What gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer!
Can't get enough of it.
Beer!
How we really love it.
Beer!
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer!
I could kiss and hug it.
Beer!
But I'd rather chuck it.
Beer!
Got my belly out to here.
Beer!
I could not refuse it.
Beer!
I could really use a beer.
Beer!
Beer!
Beer! Beer! Beer! Beer! Beer! Beer! Beer!
I can remember how much I have had. I drank a 12-pack with my dad.
That's my son, the drunken manly stud. I'm proud to be his bud.
Here, have some pretzels.
No, I'll call it quits. Those things give me the schlitz.
Drink with your family. Drink it with your friends. Drink till you're fat.
Thank you, Mr. Garriga, for the interview.
Thank you. Cheers to all the people in the university, whoever's listening to this. Thanks.
So, das war's für uns, also von unserer Seite her. Das war Uhrwerk Apfelsine mit dem Interview mit Aram Garriga, dem Regisseur von Introspective. Ich hoffe, ihr habt es genossen. Es war eine Menge Arbeit, dieses Interview zu schneiden. Und wir hören uns nächste Woche wieder, denn es ist schon spät und an der Zeit, langsam Abschied zu nehmen.